Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a 4-2 loss and series defeat to the Guardians today. Game time was early on today by 1:40 or 12:40, excuse me, Texas time. Game ended about an hour-ish or so ago. So here we are. Here we are to finish this one out before we head into the off day tomorrow. Rangers will be starting a 3-game set against the White Sox in Chicago on Tuesday. So probably a much needed day off. I know they just got one on Thursday. They might as well take another one tomorrow. It's surely not one of those times where the team is going so well that you don't want to take a day off. I mean, the offense today was just not good, not enough. Baseball Network, what's up? This actually goes into literally what I was just about to say. The offense just can't be so Corey Seager reliant, and right now it just totally is. And in the case of today, Corey Seager hits a solo home run. Nobody's on base, of course. And that ends up being a pretty big difference in the ballgame. Bullpen cannot hold the lead late. The deficit, I should say, late. It was, a one-run game. You had Leclerc come on. Wasn't very sharp. Festa allows a home run as well late. Just not ideal. And the Rangers waste a beautiful start from Cody Bradford. We're going to get into all that here in just a little bit, but you guys know the drill here, Right on Rangers. We cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. We thank you for your support of the channel. Thank you for watching, for liking. Appreciate you turning on those notifications so you can join us and get notified every time we go live and keep up with all of our latest and greatest content. Ton of different options for Texas Rangers out there. Thank you so much for choosing Right on Rangers for your post-game analysis and everything else Rangers baseball. Well, thank you so much for all of you that are watching live. And if you're watching on the replay, appreciate you as well. Let's go ahead and let's hop right into this one. And I'm going to be checking comments throughout today. So if you have something that you want to get off your chest from the game today, you got a question, anything Rangers you want to throw my way, put it in the comments and I will be sure to get to it ASAP. Going to stay well hydrated in this episode. If you're watching last night, I about died live on air. Totally lost my voice for a second there. So we're going to make sure we stay well hydrated today. Let's get into it. So we've got a few different angles I think we can take on this one. I think if you're going to go positive, bright side here, Cody Bradford just continues to deal. I know it's easy to dwell on the lack of run support. And look, I'm frustrated with it as well. But Cody Bradford lowers the ERA to 3.31 today, 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run. The unearned run actually was his fault, but still, nevertheless, 1 earned run, 2 runs total. Only 3 Ks today, so not missing quite as many bats as he usually does. You feel like Cody is usually right around same number of strikeouts as innings pitched or slightly below, so only averaged about a strikeout every other inning in this one. But Cody Bradford was outstanding. I think a big moment in the game was the decision not to bring Cody back out for the 7th inning. In fact, I said to myself as he finished the 6th, I bet they're going to pull him. 85 pitches. And I just said to myself, I bet they're going to pull him. And sure enough, they bring out Leclerc in the 7th inning. And what do you know? What do you know? Run ends up scoring in the bottom of the 7th, which at that point made it a 3-1 deficit. If Cody Bradford pitches the bottom of the 7th, look, he had just struck out Naylor. I know that Noel was coming up, and they were probably a little bit worried about Noel. He had taken Bradford deep, but I would have taken my chances. It's one of those where, you know what, if Noel hits a homer off Bradford, and he had already done that once today, you kind of live and die with it. But I don't think any Rangers fan would rather have seen Jose Leclerc there than Cody Bradford. Bradford was in a groove, had only given up 1 earned run up to that point. I think you send out Bradford. If he starts getting into trouble, no doubt you have got a guy in Leclerc that can come in and maybe do a little mop-up duty if Bradford gets into a mess. I'm not saying I would have felt great about that, but I'd have much rather Cody Bradford giving up that 3rd run than Jose Leclerc. So I understand the mentality and the mindset. Like, you know what they were thinking. They can get righty on righty with Noel. Noel had hit a home run in back-to-back games at that point and had taken Bradford deep. I still don't love the move. Bradford's at 85 pitches. I think most Rangers fans, the consensus there would be you like Bradford's chances better than Leclerc's in that spot. And Leclerc, of course, gets into trouble. Never can be too easy with Jose Leclerc. So bottom of the seventh inning, the sequence was Noel striking out, but wild pitch by Leclerc. We had Heim not able to handle it behind the dish, and Noel gets to first. They sack bunt Noel over to second base. Jimenez put down a pretty good bunt, and then we got a single that actually only brings the runner to third, but then Leclerc with the throwing error on the pickoff attempt, and Noel scores. Two pitching errors today. Bradford had one. Leclerc had one. You just can't be losing ball games this way. And the Rangers weren't losing ball games this way last year. I think by and large, the defense actually is still pretty good in terms of the metrics and in terms of the errors in regards to the rest of the league. But it feels like the Rangers are kicking the ball around a lot lately. I think this was the third straight game with an error, and they had two today, again, both by pitchers. After the 3-1 lead, Hedgie came up, popped up, and then Chafin came in to strike out Stephen Kwan. Just not a great outing from Leclerc there. And again, I'd much rather live with Cody Bradford. But I think, Cody, you got to feel good about where he's at right now. Coming off of that long stint on the IL, he has really come out and pitched very, very well over his last, what, 6-7 starts since he returned from the IL. I feel very good about Cody Bradford moving into 2025. And y'all have heard me say, I think this is how you have to start framing some of these games. Start looking at the guys that are probably still going to be around next year. And you just want to see guys finish strong. So Cody Bradford, if Evo comes back, probably going to be number three in the rotation. I think you got to love what you're seeing from Cody at this point. It sure would be nice if the Rangers could give him some offensive run support. Sure would be nice if they could stop wasting some of these Cody Bradford starts. John, let me get to your comment here. What's up, by the way? Thanks for tuning in. John says, the epitome of this season was the strikeout pass ball. Dude gets on base, gets to second. Yep, we just went through this sequence. Single to get him to third. A throw to first, gets passed for a freaking run scored, all with Leclerc on the mound. You just didn't need to go to Leclerc here. I get Noel had homered off Bradford earlier in the game. That doesn't mean that he's taking him deep again. I would much rather have seen Bradford give up the third run of the game than Leclerc. I don't think there's a lot of Rangers fans that would have loved to have seen Jose over at Bradford in that moment. I could be wrong, but I absolutely had that bad feeling. They're going to pull him after the sixth inning, even though he's only at 85 pitches. I think the play would have been you give him a couple of guys if he starts getting in trouble. Of course you pull him at that point, but see what he does against Noel. See what he does. And then see what he does against Jimenez. Jimenez was 0-for on the day. Freeman was 0-for on the day up to that point. So really you just had to get past Noel, and then you had a very favorable 7-8-9 matchup. So even if you wanted to pitch around Noel and just be kind of careful with him, I think you had a very favorable 7-8-9 matchup coming up after Noel. So maybe you see if you can get Noel to nibble on something outside the zone. If you don't like what you're seeing, you kind of do a little small pitch around. I would have much rather have seen them do that than hand the ball over to Leclerc in a one-run deficit, which quickly became a two-run deficit. Then that Corey Seager solo shot ties the game. I know you can't play that game too much in baseball, but that is the reality. You figure Seager comes up, ties the game 2-2. And who knows what happens from there? Of course, that didn't happen. The Rangers go on to lose this one 4-2. Natalie, thanks for tuning in. Natalie's comment says, I read an article on a Rangers page talking about how versatility will help cement Langford long-term fit here. Yeah, I think they're going to be moving Langford around a lot. And Langford, by the way, today, might as well talk about him. 0-for-2 on the day, did have a walk, played center field today, moved over to left. I think Langford is going to have to improve defensively. I think left field, center field, I think he has some improvements that he can make. I think the arm slot, Langford, is a little bit too low. I think probably a tweak there needed. I think he should be a lot more over the top than what he is right now. Kind of at the almost feels like he's throwing three quarters from the outfield sometimes. You really want to get that arm over the top from the outfield spot, especially if you're going to be a center fielder and not just a left fielder. You got to get that arm coming straight over the top so you can maximize the velocity and accuracy. And when you're throwing it over the top versus three quarters, I do think that you have a much better chance at hitting your cutoffs, and then also keeping the ball low, which Langford has had some trouble with, right? Sailing it over the cutoff, sailing it over Jonah Heim's head for plays at the plate. That's happened a couple of different times. So I also think they've got to work on some route reading, some good first steps with him. He's a very, very good ball player. I like the potential for the future, but I just got to be honest. I think he leaves something to be desired out there right now, playing left field, playing center field. Keep going here. Yeah, Baseball Network, you were hanging out with me last night. Yeah, not drinking enough water. The voice just left me. I was just going off, I think, on the Astros. I think that was the topic last night when I lost my voice for a second there. I was just on a classic Astros rant. Had a couple of people in the chat. I don't know if I never know. I think if you are supporting the Astros in any way, you're either a fan or you're kind of a closet fan. Otherwise, I don't think any true Rangers fan is on this live pumping up the Astros in any way, shape, or form. You'll hear me give the Astros respect. Like, look, they're a good team. They're clearly a team that belongs in the playoffs. They're a good team. Are you going to hear me defending them if a Rangers fan wants to come on and dog on them a little bit? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The best you're going to get out of me is they've got some good players. They're a playoff team, but not much beyond that. Anyways, next comment here. DeGrom, Evo, Bradford, Mally, lighter rotation. Seems pretty good on paper. I totally agree. I think that this is ideal. The top four, I think that should be cemented. Book it. Like if you're CY, you got to make that top four happen. DeGrom, Evo, Bradford, Mally. That sounds like a really good rotation, a really good starting four on paper. And if you're looking ahead to the playoffs, that top four will play in the playoffs. 100%. But the fifth starter spot, I think, is a little bit up for grabs at this point. Are they going to go out and get a vet on a one-year deal? I think they should go out and get somebody in free agency. If I'm CY, I'm getting a fifth and a sixth starter in free agency. There's some guys you can maybe bring back. You could bring back a Mike Lorenzen if you wanted. I know Lorenzen was having a down season when we traded him. I should say a down like second half, because the first half, Lorenzen was incredible, kind of started fading a little bit later on. Not sure what Lorenzen is doing right now for KC. I'm going to see if I can pull up Lorenzen's stats. But look, the point is you could get a guy like Mike Lorenzen back on a one-year deal if you wanted. Mike Lorenzen, by the way, his last seven games, it's not super pretty. He did just have an outstanding start against the Angels and the Reds, against the Angels about 4 days ago, seven innings, no earned runs, seven shutout innings. Then against the Reds, 5 2/3, one earned. St. Louis, he got lit up a little bit, 4 1/3, three earned runs. But it's not pretty over the last seven games, 6.52 ERA. But look, Lorenzen is an innings eater. Could you get a guy like him back on a one-year deal? Probably, if he enjoyed his time here. So I am thinking Rangers need to go out, probably get a fifth starter, a sixth starter. I'm not banking on Leiter being the guy. I think they can definitely hope for that, and I hope for that. But the Rangers should learn the lesson that I think they've learned this year. Don't bank on minor league guys coming up and being big-time producers. I think we all, as Rangers fans, bought into Wyatt Langford being a big-time producer this year. He wasn't. We bought into Evan Carter being the guy that he was in October last year. He wasn't. I'm personally a little bit burned by counting on minor league guys to come up and be contributors. I think you've got to have some insurance policies in place. And with that being said, I'd like them to go out and sign a fifth and sixth starter. And if you can get quality out of Jack Leiter down the stretch, so be it. So be it. You can always move those fifth or sixth starters into a bullpen role, kind of a longer relief role, while Leiter takes the fifth spot in the rotation. But I'm not banking on that. I think they did that this year. They tried it. I don't want to say it was arrogant or like come down on CY in the front office, but I would just say don't let want to be careful. Don't overestimate these minor league players. I mean, don't overestimate them. Underestimate them. Make them prove it on the field at the big league level, and then be happy to be proven wrong when you sign those one-year vets to the fifth and sixth spot in the rotation, and then Leiter goes ahead and kills it at the major league level, and you've got to move those vets to the bullpen. That is, I think, what they should do. That should be the plan. And you know what? Add Kumar Rocker in there. If Rocker kills it in AAA, comes to spring training, lights up the radar gun, has a bunch of quality starts in spring training, you're happy to be wrong on signing one or two vet guys. You can easily push them off to a long starter relief to a long man role in the bullpen. Let me keep going here. So let's turn our attention to the box score, kind of go through some notables here. Marcus Semien on base twice, always a good thing when you've got Semien on base a couple times. That's something that has been lacking this year from the team, getting that consistent two on, from the leadoff spot. I think that that has been an issue. So to see Semien getting on base a couple times, absolutely there. You did have Duran, I believe, with the only opportunity with a runner in scoring position with two outs. Rangers only had two of those opportunities today, and they went one for two, only four runners left on base. So the opportunities were just not there today. Nate Lowe just had an ugly, ugly game, 0 for 4 with three strikeouts. I was saying in a couple of chats that I'm in, just Nate Lowe, you love for that dude to catch fire. It seems like he has about one good week in a month's time where he is just killing it, and then the other 3 weeks, he's fallen off a cliff. And he's 182 batting average over his last 15, 208 over his last 30. He had that nice 3-for-4 game on Friday night, but that is about all he did in this series. The rest of the way, Saturday, Sunday, he went 0-for-7 with a walk and three strikeouts. So Nate Lowe, I wonder, are they going to, in September, start platooning him, start giving some ABs, maybe to some other guys that are on the AAA team right now? So I think about a guy like Blaine Crim down at AAA, just hit another home run today. I think he's got around 15 on the year, 60-plus RBI. I believe Blaine Crim is hitting 275-ish with the AAA club. Are they going to give him a shot? Are you going to maybe give Foscue a shot? Foscue, I don't know what he is doing right now in his time in AAA. I'll try and pull up MILB while we talk here. But I think that the Rangers would be wise in September to give some opportunities to some AAA guys. I would like to start seeing that. There's really no reason to continue to give ABs to some of these starters that are just doing absolutely nothing for you right now. And Nate Lowe, as much as I love him, as much as I love the clubhouse presence, I just really do not want to see them not give opportunities when it comes to some of these young rookie guys, young AAA guys. So Crim, by the way, 1-for-5 with the bomb today, 272 average on the year. I would try and bring up Ornelas. Ornelas 2-for-4 today. I don't think Foscue, he's playing second base, it looks like. I was going to say, I don't think Foscue is getting a ton of corner time, but Foscue 1-for-5. And looks like over his last 7 games, hard to say. They don't give me the game log for the minor league stats. I'm going to see if I can just lock in on minors here. But Foscue, I think, could be a guy maybe they try and bring back up again. At this point, give Corey Seager and Marcus Semien time. I think looking down the lineup here, I think you're probably going to have to continue to give Dolly ABs, Josh Young, Wyatt Langford, Jonah Heim. I think, though, you definitely can start taking away Nate Lowe's ABs. I think you could probably start taking away Leody's ABs if you wanted to mix in an outfielder there. Josh Smith, as much as I love Josh Smith, I think that's another guy you could probably start cutting some ABs from, just giving other guys opportunities. That's just my harsh take on this, guys. We just don't have a lot of hopes for playoffs, if any, at this point. And there's nobody that is just killing it enough to continue to give them ABs in the context of this season. So I want to see some call-ups, get some opportunities, more than just one guy. And I hope that that is what happens when September rolls around in about a week here. But very, very poor showing from the offense. You got the one home run from Corey Seager. Josh Young had an RBI as well today. And that's about all she wrote. I mean, there's just not a lot else notable today. No Ranger goes multi-hit today. Jonah Heim had a base knock. Again, Josh Young, base knock. Seager with the home run. Semien with the base knock as well. Other than that, pretty ugly day offensively. We talked about Leclerc already. Chafin did come in and get a big strikeout of Kwan. I think the Rangers would be silly not to give Chafin that option. They've got a club option on Chafe right now. So I really think that the smart move is to get Andrew Chafin for another year. Otherwise, you're trying to go with Lats and Pennington as your lefties. Is anybody excited about that? I'm not. I would love to have Chafin in the high leverage moments. You got Lats and Pennington that can fill in kind of the fifth, sixth, seventh inning spots, but I don't think you can trot out Pennington and Lats as your big shutdown lefties next year. Nothing against them. I just haven't seen enough from those guys to warrant them getting those high leverage ABs at this point. They haven't done enough in my book. So I want to see them re-sign Chapin. He's had some ups and downs, but I think by and large, he's shown that he can get big outs and big moments. He did it today against Kwan, an all-star in a big spot. So I'm wanting to re-sign Chapin. And really, it's not about re-signing. The club just has to exercise the option, and it's a done deal. And you traded for him knowing that he has a club option. And for me, he hasn't soiled the bed his entire time here. There's been a few bad moments, but I think Chapin is a guy that you got to exercise the club option on. So Chapin, probably the one bright spot in the bullpen. Festa gets the home run hit off him. Did have a strikeout today. And again, we already ran through Leclerc, just not able to have a shutdown outing. You know, Leclerc, I think, did all right in his other appearance against the Guardians this weekend. But I'm personally ready for the Leclerc run in Texas to be over. I would like to see them move on and really do a little bit of an overhaul with the bullpen. You've got some guys that are on the expiring contracts. Don't know if Robertson is going to be sticking around. Don't know if we're going to be able to retain Yates. I think this is an opportunity, this 2025 offseason, to really do some retooling. And I think that the Rangers would be wise to go in some different directions rather than try and keep some of these same guys that they've trotted out really the past several seasons. Aaron, absolutely. Today it was Lechoke. The throwing error more than anything, right? The throwing error, just terrible. Can't happen in a moment like that. At that point, you know, when Leclerc makes the throwing error, again, we're going to the bottom of the seventh inning here. You already got really two outs if you count the Noel strikeout, even though he reaches first base on the wild pitch. That's how they officially scored it, at least. But you had first and third, one out. You had an opportunity to get a double play ball. You just can't throw the ball away. And I believe in that spot, you know, maybe some people, the wild pitch, the throwing error, you kind of don't know 100%. You know, could somebody else have made a play on those? I tend to blame Leclerc more so for the throwing error than I do the wild pitch. That's just me. The wild pitch, you did your job. You got the guy to swing. I'm not saying that Jonah Heim had that one in the bag or, you know, it's 100% a play he has to make back there behind the dish. But I definitely give the throwing error, though, and I put that solely on Leclerc's shoulders. I think the wild pitch you definitely could maybe say is somewhat debatable, but just can't happen there. So agreed. Lechoke in this one, no doubt. This is actually a really good question. Spores rehabbing in Frisco. Do I want to keep him? Look, I'm not a medical professional, but something that does really concern me about Josh Spores is the continued injuries. I love Josh Spores for everything that he did for the 2023 run. I think the big question with Spores is going to be, do you think he's going to be a guy that's going to stay healthy? If the answer is yes, then I want Josh Spores. But if you have done the evaluation of him and there's any doubt in your mind that he is going to be able to stay healthy the rest of his career consistently, I think you probably could cut ties with Spores. I don't know what the contract situation is, but I would try and do an overhaul of the bullpen at this point. You know, you really haven't been able to count on Spores for any consistent amount of time this season. I'm down for Chapin. I think Pennington, Lats, those guys are going to get opportunities to come back. But other than that, I don't know. Obviously, if you can get Yates, Robertson back, that would be phenomenal. But I just don't know at this point if you really want to hold on to a whole lot of other guys. I like Spores when he's healthy. I just don't know if he can stay healthy. So great question. I think that is something that CY and the front office are going to have to evaluate. Do they think this can be a guy that can stay off the IL, stay maybe one or two short stints here and there, if maybe, you know, there's a little fatigue or something like that. But I don't know. I love Spores, just concerned about his ability to stay on the field. Let's keep rolling here. Pretty much covered everything, I think, in this one. I'm going to run through one more time here to talk about anything today related, but I think this is another one that's good to just go ahead and flush and move on from. And I've said that about a lot of these games recently, unfortunately, but here we are. I will say this, isn't it isn't it just kind of just so disappointing to see Class A out there dealing 0.6 ERA from Emmanuel Class A, strikes out the side in the ninth. Man, that was a quick ninth inning. That Class A trade is always going to be something I look at and just shake my head at. You can't win every trade, but we got Corey Kluber for one inning, basically, and we traded away Emmanuel Class A. That has got to be one of the all-time worst trades in Rangers history. And every time I watch Class A pitch against us, I just get more and more of that dagger twisting in the heart from that trade, where we got literally one inning out of Corey Kluber. Just terrible, terrible trade. You can't win them all. There have been some good trades that the Rangers have made, no doubt. But that's got to be one of the all-time, as Aaron puts it here, all-time boneheaded trades. Emmanuel Class A is the freaking beast out there in the ninth inning. We have our own freaking beast in Kirby Yates, but Emmanuel Class A is controllable. And let's be honest, if you had to put them side by side, I think just running a franchise, of course you want Class A. As good as Kirby Yates has been, you want Emmanuel Class A. 0.6 ERA. I'm surprised that the numbers in the strikeout category are not a little higher, but 0.65 whip, 0.6 ERA, the dude is just filthy. And he doesn't walk a lot of guys. I mean, in his last 15 games, he's walked 3 guys. So he has control. The stuff is filthy. Every time I see that dude pitch, it hurts, because he should be in Ranger red, white, and blue. He should be. Yeah, last year, this is actually a really good point, Natalie. Imagine what our record would be if we had Class A last year. I mean, imagine that World Series team last year with Class A. Seriously. Every time I see that dude throw, I know I've said it a few times, y'all, it's painful. It's just painful. All right, we got to move on. Rangers will be opening up a series with the White Sox on Tuesday. And by the way, if you're coming in a little bit later on, you want to talk anything from the game today, drop it in the comments. I'll definitely get to it before I take off for the day. But let's go ahead and let's start previewing the White Sox series. So day off tomorrow, probably a good thing for the Rangers. You do have the Mariners playing the Rays, and the Astros are opening up a series with the Phillies in Philadelphia. Mariners will be at home. So there are some other teams around the AL West that will be playing tomorrow. Looks like the Angels are off tomorrow and the A's are off tomorrow, but you do have the Mariners and Astros playing. So we'll do a little scoreboard watching tomorrow. Not that it really matters, but it always makes the day a little better when we see an Astros L. So we'll tune in and at least keep tabs on it. But on Tuesday, the Rangers are going to be throwing Andrew Heaney, and we will be seeing Crochet on Tuesday. So it'll be a battle of the big lefties. And Crochet, I think, actually took an L against the Rangers last time out, or at least the White Sox lost the Crochet start. I don't know if he took a decision or not, but the Rangers were able to get to Crochet last time out. So you look at the numbers, Texas versus Crochet, Dolley 2-for-4 with 2 RBI, Grossman 1-for-5. You'd imagine Robbie's probably going to be getting a start again against the lefty. Jonah Heim 0-for-4, Wyatt Langford 0-for-1, Nate Lowe 0-for-2, Marcus Semien 1-for-2, and Josh Smith 1-for-2. Seager, I think, was hurt or going through some kind of injury the last time Crochet pitched, because Seager doesn't have any career at-bats against him. So there's that. Pretty small sample size. And Crochet, just to look at his last 7 games, and let's actually go last 3, he has not gone past 4 innings each of his last 3 starts. So we're not going to see a lot of length out of Crochet. He's actually gotten pretty well lit up his last 7 games. 6.17 ERA for Garrett Crochet in his last 7 starts, 23 innings, 28 hits, 8 walks. So allowing a lot of base runners, a lot of traffic. Look, we all joke, the Rangers love to make struggling pitchers look really, really good. So don't be surprised if Garrett Crochet has a pretty quality outing against us coming up next year. But with that being said, Garrett Crochet definitely is hittable right now with how he's been going. So his last 3 starts, 4 innings, 2 earned runs against the Giants, four innings, one earned run against Houston, and he actually struck out nine. That was on August 16th, nine Ks in four innings. So it shows you he definitely can be pretty deadly when he's on. Against the Cubs, 2 1/3, seven earned runs. So that Cubs game was really what ballooned the ERA, 2 1/3, nine hits, seven earned runs. So we'll see what Garrett Crochet or which Garrett Crochet we get come Tuesday. But that is the pitching matchup. Hopefully the Rangers can get back on track against the White Sox. Since the All-Star break, the Rangers have only won series against the White Sox and against the Pirates. That's it. We've lost every other series since the All-Star break. Hopefully we can make it three series since the All-Star break with at least 2 out of 3. I mean, if we can get a sweep again, I'd love it. But can we at least take 2 out of 3 against the White Sox? Come on now. Come on now. This would be a painful series if the Rangers cannot pick up at least 2 out of 3. So we'll see what happens. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the Rangers will be facing off against the White Sox. Andrew Heaney, again, going tomorrow. Heen Dog, over his last 15 games, 3.76 ERA, been pitching really well, threw five scoreless against the Pirates last time out, 8 Ks, love the way Heaney's throwing the ball. I expect him to have a good outing. Are the bats going to show up? That is the big question. That's the million-dollar question. Now, for the rest of the series, let's take a look. Let's see who the Rangers have or haven't announced. Looks like TBD for Wednesday, although it feels like Evo probably is going to be in line for that game, if I had to guess, unless they've announced him for Thursday already. Looks like Evo is slated for Thursday. So they are giving Evo 6 days in between starts because he started on Friday night. So I thought maybe Thursday they'd be throwing him out there. Wednesday they'd be throwing him out there, but they're going to give him 5 days rest and have him throw the Thursday game, which is a getaway day. And then the Rangers on Friday will be heading back to Arlington for a 3-game set with the Oakland A's. So 3 against the Sox, 3 against the A's. Good opportunity to go like 5-1 or 4-2 at minimum. So the Rangers, I do feel, have a couple of favorable matchups coming up. In baseball, it's never money in the bank against any team. But you feel like this is the opportunity for the Rangers to get back on track, playing 3 in Chicago and then 3 at home against the A's. We'll see who ends up starting on Wednesday. Just trying to think over in my mind who the options might be. Do you throw Jose Urania in a little spot start? I'm kind of done with Dane Dunning starting games. Maybe they'll throw Dane, but I'd really prefer to see Jose Urania and throw Jose Urania with Jonah Heim. I feel like he's been sharp all season long when Heim catches him. He kind of got lit up in a spot start a couple of weeks ago when Carson Kelly was behind the dish. On Wednesday, I'd go Urania with the Jonah Heim tandem. So let's see what they do Wednesday. But we at least know Heaney on Tuesday, Evo on Thursday, and then Wednesday is a wait and see. Now let's do headlines around the league, and I'll continue to check comments. TikTok, what's up? I have not checked out TikTok too much, but I'll scroll through, see if there's any comments worth mentioning. For the good of the whole, somebody said on TikTok, season is a huge letdown. I agree. I think that they definitely could have had a better showing after they went through and won the World Series last year. Definitely could have been a better showing, 100%. Let me keep going. Headlines around the league. Betts homers, one pitch after Ohtani HBP to lift the Dodgers. So Ohtani gets hit by a pitch. Mookie Betts back in action. He's just continuing to rake since coming off the IL. Dodgers are my pick in the NL. I think Orioles and Dodgers World Series. I know it's not like a crazy out there pick, right? Dodgers, Orioles. But I do think that's who's going to end up playing in the World Series. Diamondbacks sweep in Fenway. 6 straight win. The Diamondbacks, speaking of World Series teams from last year, Diamondbacks are 19 games over 500. So Lovello has got those guys back playing some really good baseball. Diamondbacks have won 6 in a row, and they sweep at Fenway. Good for them. I think I would like to see the Diamondbacks go all the way. I really would. I don't really care to see the Phillies win a World Series. I can't say I care for any of the NL Central teams to win a World Series. I wouldn't mind seeing the Diamondbacks. I don't have any ill will towards them. I mean, there was really nothing that went on in that World Series last year that would make you hate the Diamondbacks. We pretty much crushed them. I mean, there's not a whole lot to be upset about. I wouldn't mind seeing the D-backs take it all this year, but I think the Dodgers are going to be hungry to avenge the loss from last year. And with Ohtani, I would be surprised. The Dodgers starting pitching maybe is a little bit of a question mark. The Flaherty deal, I think, is helpful. We'll see what happens. A 33-year-old gets called up for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Brady Fagel, I don't know how I'm saying that, but if I'm saying that right, but he gets picked up by the Pirates, gets the call up at 33 years old, lefty pitcher. So I don't know how he did today. I don't know what his line was, but very, very cool. I don't even know if he got an appearance today. 33 years old, getting a call up. That is very special. Good for him. That's a great story in baseball. Absolutely a great story. Now, let me keep going here. We have Yamamoto ready for rehab games at AAA. So a lot of Dodger stuff today. Shocker on MLB.com. Absolute shocker. Guardians did make the headlines today. Series win sets up crucial AL Central clash with Royals. So Royals and Guardians playing next. I think that's about it. That's about all the headlines. Let's do one more check at the comments here. White Sox are 31-100. Aaron says, if they stay on this pace, they'll have the worst record of the modern era. Okay. They're just really trying to lock up a good pick, I guess. Although, if I go to Tankathon here, is there like something weird with the MLB draft where they don't get the first pick? So when I go to Tankathon, which I don't know if is correct, the White Sox, it says, have the 10th and 11th pick, and they're ineligible to pick better than 10th due to previous lotteries, market size, and revenue sharing rules. So I don't know. Oakland and Chicago are ineligible to pick better than 10th this year. I don't know all the ins and outs of the MLB draft and all the rules. Right now, Texas still has a top 5 pick, by the way, in the MLB draft. So we'll see what happens there. But right now, Texas looking pretty good to get a top 5 pick. Washington is about a game ahead of them for 4. Angels are 6 games ahead of the Rangers for a top 3 pick. And the Rockies and the Miami Marlins, respectively, about 12 games ahead of the Rangers for the number 1 and 2 picks. So there you go. Could it be lighter? When will guys like that be up? I don't know. I think it could be maybe for the September games. I think September call-ups absolutely would be my best guess on that. All right, let me keep going here. Aaron says, early 2000s Tigers were 43-119. That's the worst. Yeah, I don't know. Do you see? Let me think. There's 30 games left, 31 games left in the regular season. So if the White Sox are 31 wins, they would have to win 12 of the next 31 games to not get the record. It's hard for me to see them going 12-19 over their next 31. I don't know. I think they're a pretty good lock to beat that record that the Tigers set. I think they will probably become the worst regular season team in Major League Baseball history. Basically, Aaron says both teams have sucked so long that they can't get a top 10 pick due to anti-tanking rules. There you go. So Tankathon had it right. Now, is there let me see here. I'm a little bit confused. Is there a lottery in Major League Baseball now? I don't know. I thought it was still pretty traditional, but maybe not. I guess there is still a lottery system. 2024 MLB draft lottery. So let me see how it goes here. Yeah, sure enough. So there is a lottery. So Rangers could potentially still get the first pick in the draft. Right now, according to Tankathon, they've got a 7.48% chance of getting the top pick. Miami and Colorado, 22.5% chance each. So we'll see what happens. Rangers could potentially get a top 3, top 2, top 1 pick. That might be the positive in all this. Maybe next year for 2025, you get an opportunity to reload a little bit with the farm system. I think the only mistake this year with the Rangers, you know, you didn't capitalize on some trades you could have made at the deadline to really reload for next year. It's unfortunate. You missed the opportunity there. They did trade Lorenzen. You probably could have traded a Kirby Yates a David Robertson. It's unfortunate. Hard to know. Hindsight's always 20/20, but it is a bummer that the Rangers weren't able to reload a little bit more at the trade deadline. I definitely was not an advocate of selling off the team, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I was. I wanted them to keep those guys. Hindsight 20/20, but would have been nice to reload the farm system a little bit, maybe reload a couple of bench pieces for 2025. You know, should have, would have, could have, right? I think that is really the mantra for the Rangers this year. Should have, would have, could have. Could have probably had a much better season this year, but a lot of regression, a lot of guys falling very hard, crashing very hard back down to earth. And here we are. It's going to be an interesting offseason. I am very, very curious to see what they do, who they may trade away, who they may try and acquire. That will be fun. That is a very fun component of this offseason. I can't imagine Rangers brass, Rangers front office is going to be satisfied with the result and not want to turn things around for next year and make it back to the playoffs at minimum. Let me see here. I couldn't find the game, but he had gone 5-for-5 until the ump called it before 7 innings and virtually took away the batting title with 4 months to go. Sorry I missed this a little bit late. If you're still watching, I appreciate the comment. Give me a little more context here if possible, and then I'll be able to speak a little bit more to it. Let me keep going. I think that probably wraps things up for us here, guys. I appreciate all y'all tuning in today. Probably going to take a true off day tomorrow. Maybe we'll put out a video recapping something we talked about in the live today, but busy, like last 4 or 5 days for me. Might just take a straight up off day tomorrow like the Rangers are going to and come back at y'all on Tuesday. But I have loved hanging out with you guys this weekend. I wish it could have been after a series win, but alas, it was not meant to be. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Chicago White Sox in Chicago. Hopefully a series where the Rangers can really get back on track, win a few games. The White Sox series, it was actually kind of close. If you guys remember, the White Sox played the Rangers pretty well. The Rangers did get 4 wins, but there were some close games in that set. I am not like holding my breath that some of these games won't be tight, but I do hope the Rangers can get back on track. I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a good one, though, guys. I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday and a great week ahead. Thank you again for hanging out. If you're watching live or on the replay and you're not following the account, you're not subscribed to the channel, please go ahead and do so. And as I always ask, kindly, if you know someone that loves the Rangers, you got other guys that you know, other people you know that are Rangers fans, please send them my way. Tell them about the channel. Share this video with them or share one of my other short vids with them. I would be very, very appreciative. And as I always say to end every show, God bless